Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
A Gao Media Station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. Welcome aboard, Barry, Nick, and Joel, present and accounted for. Getting ready for the holiday weekend, which will start early, but we will be here through Wednesday because we are troopers. Saw that? I saw that, too.
What was that?
Our older intern, Nick, was knocking on the window behind you trying to get your attention because they already know you're going to whoop somebody's ass if they come in there unannounced.
They won't come through that door. They're scared of you.
I'm not going in there because Nick, I love Nick. He's my friend.
I like that they're scared of
you. I don't want him to hit me.
You're a very intimidating person.
I'm not an intimidating person at all.
You are.
No,
you're mean.
That's not true at all.
Of the three of us, you're definitely the meanest on this show.
That would not be true at all. That would be Joel.
Is temperamental fair?
Joel's not the meanest on this show.
Yes, he is.
No.
Who's the meanest?
You.
No, I would.
Joel, who
do you
vote?
Let's throw a poll up on
that. Do you vote yourself or do you vote Nick?
I think Nick.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I would disagree with that. I think the people
would
disagree.
Why are you being so mean about it?
I think the people would disagree.
Well, throw the poll up then. You got.
I'm kind of nervous now.
You got.
Let me say some positive things about the Rockets and the Texans first.
Oh, no. There's two different
then
ways.
Then I'll throw
like
up
everything
the poll.
Else. How are you defining mean? I treat people very, very well around here.
Oh, well, no. Hold on.
I can be a little ornery.
No. I mean, you don't want to bring in how you treat people. I was just talking in general.
You excluded, I think, besides you.
No, I mean, I hear how you talk to people.
All right.
Nick is definitely meaner, though.
No, that's not.
I mean,
let's see what
you,
the people think.
Takes it as a 713-780-3- hammer interns.
No, just text
it's
it
in. It's all in jest when I do it. Yeah, text it in. 713-780-3776. Text
who's the meanest
vote.
Suspect?
Who's the meanest?
Joel.
Nick or Joel?
Nick. Oh, look at this a-hole over here. Nick or Joel? Not me.
It's Joel. Joel, it's Barry.
Joel,
it's Nick.
Nope, just Joel or Nick. That's the. I'm not the meanest. I'm the fun-loving suspect.
I almost did it right there.
I am the fun-loving, good time party suspect.
Mm-hmm. Lying through your teeth, sir.
Well, I mean, you're not the party guy.
No, I'm not that. Okay. Everybody knows that. But see, that's the thing. Everybody knows enough about us to realize that
you're the mean.
No, that Nick's all your mean falsehoods are not to be believed.
Somebody just texted Joel 100. Just right off the bat, the text are rolling.
Was that
in.
The first text, like, honestly, or did you get
no,
one first?
No, the first text said, "What up, fartster?" Boy, I love our listeners, man. They are just...
Somebody who blocked you must have also unleashed.
Somebody who blocked me?
Somebody who blocked. Someone blocked. There's some venom in the deleted items.
Oh, Barry's dumbass is the meanest and the biggest douche.
Wow.
Yeah.
We
Happy
asked for
Thanksgiving,
it.
Everybody.
We're
going to
get a lot
what
of that in the text.
What are you thankful for? God.
We asked for it, so.
Yeah. Did y'all hear that? Because I was thinking about that. Paul Feinbaum, and they you know, the college expert on ESPN, he also has a radio show, and he takes a lot of calls. So they've kind of carried it over onto TV where they say, let's call Paul. Well, one of the main callers that's called Paul since he started this, I forget however many years ago, is a lady that's a big Auburn fan. She was killed in a traffic accident. Tragic, terrible, with her granddaughter in the back of the car. Just awful.
Yeah.
And so they dedicated an hour and were like memorializing her and saying even if you weren't a fan of Auburn, how great it was and everything like that. I was like, God, that's a really nice gesture. And it's tragic and just awful that she was killed. And I'm thinking, what would we do in a situation like that? And who are our loyalist caller, the most loyal callers that we would put up there?
Well, it's certainly not 832-853-8098. That guy is not loyal at all.
Here we go.
He doesn't like me one bit.
I said we asked for it, though.
So. He doesn't like me one bit. Apparently, I'm too douchey for his liking. So, fart is the meanest. There's that. Barry? I don't know. And they spelled it wrong. Or is it neck? Barry's the meanest, but it's in the name of comedy. That's from Matt. No, I'm not a choice. It's between Nick and Joel. They're
seemingly
the meanest.
Seemingly, Nick, for not being a choice, he's the leader by a long, long way right now.
No, so I know. The funny one, the mean one, and the goofy one. Y'all know who you are. Well, I know I'm the funny one, so that's one of y'all is goofy and one of you is mean. So,
I don't know if that's the right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who's the goofy and who's
well,
the mean?
Well, neither one of you are the funny one, so.
Joel is not very happy with you right now.
I mean, are you gonna sit there and tell me that you're the funny one?
Did I say anything?
You're shaking your head.
I just let you go. I wasn't shaking my head at all.
Joel is definitely the biggest D in the group. See, this is just getting, this is getting ugly.
It's not going to stop.
No.
It's not going to stop now.
Just because Joel doesn't take crap off of anyone doesn't make him mean.
Boom! Thank you, people.
Barry percent 1,000.
Wow.
Joel is mean and funny. Barry is a jerk but funny, but Nick is the quiet mean, the worst of all. So you're just mean. You're just mean. See, so Nick, you're getting your own set of votes here.
Chan said the show just started and Nick's already getting sassy because he's gassy. A la fart sharara. Here they come.
Chan's been going at me for a while on Twitter.
Why? I wonder.
Recently.
I wonder why.
Just making fun of me.
What did you do to Chan?
Nothing. Did nothing, but he likes to pick on me. Not a fan of Chan right now.
I noticed Pink Valkyrie didn't vote. She just said, I'm so here for this. Well, what? Yeah. Well, who are you voting for? Is it Nick or is it Joel that's the meanest?
Yeah, that one they cannot, unless you're watching on the
you're
live
gonna get,
stream.
You could keep saying that, but I think it's not going to work in your favor.
Oh,
people
no.
are just going to start.
So far, it hasn't.
What do you mean?
I noticed
people are
going to
start sending mean texts.
I mean, based on what we've heard and seen.
I don't know. I feel like you, Nick, is the leader in the clubhouse right now.
I don't have access to the text, so I can't tell if Barry's lying, but I will say this.
I mean, I'm just reading them as they come in.
I doubt you're reading them as they come in.
I am. Look, Barry is not mean. Atomic douche bomb. Yes. That's from OU Mike, who is now banned. This is good times. So, all right, we'll move on.
It's a great. Some great responses.
Aren't there?
Really,
yeah. Oh, boy. The text
hey, Barry,
line is...
I won some tickets to your show on Saturday night from yesterday. Really looking forward to it. Until you read off the number of that guy, I was going to go with Joel. All righty. Thank you. Did y'all watch that game last night?
No. What game?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I did.
Thank God it lived up to billing.
What do you mean? You were worried that it wouldn't?
I was afraid that it was going to because the Rams were already talking about with everything else going on, the huge distractions, obviously, that and having practiced in Colorado all week, that it was tough getting back into it. I thought, God, don't lay an egg here with all the hype that's gone into this game. And boy, did it live up to billing. What a fantastic game.
Yep. It was insane. You know, it's funny because the word I kept seeing used over and over again was bonkers. I can't tell you how many times on Facebook and Twitter people use the word bonkers to describe the game itself. So it was pretty crazy.
Now, let me ask you a question. Okay. So if you're Deshaun Watson and you're sitting back watching all that, are you pissed?
Why?
Because do you sit there and go, well, if I didn't have Billy Conservative as my offensive play caller and head coach, I could be doing so much more? Just a question. I'm throwing it at you.
I don't know do you think people think like that? I mean, do you think that he's looking at it that way?
Let me say this. I think any quarterback in this league, especially the younger ones, watched that with some envy last night going, man, because think about this. We are not that far away from the Jeff Fisher coached Rams team that have everybody convinced Jared Goff was the biggest bust in the history of busts. Or in recent history, for number one overall picks in this draft, in the drafts.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of young quarterbacks that are wishing they had a Sean McVay or an Andy Reid that were that innovative and that creative that could really do some things. Because, I mean, the way they opened it up, and I thought Ryan Clark on your favorite show this morning did bring up a good point. He said the difference between the two is the Rams run the same offensive set and just run everything out of that, which is either easier to defend. But Andy Reid
has receivers in the backfield, guys in motion, you know, lots of misdirection. And he said that's so much harder to defend, which makes perfect sense because everybody would say, well, God, the new young up-and-coming coordinator of all coordinators is McVay, but you got to give Reed some credit because he's adapted along the way and gotten better and better.
That is one of those things that you kind of, a lot of these coaches tend to be old school and they don't change the way that they are. And Andy Reed has really adapted because, and you know, you've seen it with some of these cats where they come out of school and they run an air raid style attack like Patrick Mahomes did when he was at Texas Tech, or they run a spread offense. And so you've seen the NFL has kind of started adapting itself to the college game a little bit more than it used to. And those teams that don't, I mean, even give him credit though. I had no problem with the way Bill O'Brien called the game on Sunday. I really don't. I thought he called a good game.
Still predictable on first down runs. But other than that, I was fine with it.
I mean, I would be interested to go back and see how many times he ran the ball on first down. But the fact of the matter is they were effective because I think he mixed it up well and you had QT involved. And, you know, despite the fact that they didn't get Thomas involved, I still felt like it was a good mix of run and pass. Now, I think part of what you saw last night was just two teams that had to keep up with each other offensively. And the defense, I had one guy on Twitter who was bitching about the fact that it was a poorly, you know, this is one of the worst football games ever. This is not what football is supposed to be. There's no defense. And I gave him some stats about the fact that there was 7 sacks and 3 defensive touchdowns, 4 fumbles, an interception. He goes, yeah, but how many punts? You watch football for punts? Like, who cares? But I think some of this was just one of those, they had to keep up with each other. And so offensively.
Sure, because after the 2 Mahomes turnovers, he thought they were out of it. Yeah. And they got one in return. He was all fired up because he knew we're back in the ballgame.
And I don't know you'll see numbers like that very often, but when you have two teams that can really, you know, spread the ball around and put points on the board, this is the result.
And Mahomes is the first quarterback ever to have 6 touchdowns and 5 turnovers.
But you know what? I think about it, and to your question, I bet there's a lot of quarterbacks not named Drew Brees and Tom Brady in the league that are jealous of being able to run an offense like that.
Sure.
But you know, you've also got to have a Todd Gurley and Cooks or Hill and
Your
Hunt
skill positions
and,
have to, the cover
Kelsey
has to be full.
And a line that can give you enough time to throw. And let's you know, not that the Chiefs did a great job on the offensive line, but give some credit to Patrick Mahomes for just standing in the pocket and willing to take some hits and make some passes and take some chances. And he doesn't just run right away. So it was a fun game, man. If you didn't enjoy that, then I don't know what to tell you. Maybe football ain't your thing.
No doubt. Yeah, my buddy who's the play-by-play guy for the Kings forever in Sacramento, his favorite line is, if you didn't enjoy that, then you don't love NBA basketball. Well, if you didn't enjoy that last night, you don't love NFL football. Because that was, I heard people crapping on it because there wasn't enough defense too and texted me. And I'm like, yo, seriously? Do you really want to see a game of this magnitude end up 6-3 or 14-7? No.
And these are probably the same people that also bitch when the SEC, when Bama and Auburn go 6-3 or something like that.
They're or
like,
LSU.
This sucks.
The LSU,
well, what do you
Alabama
want?
Game, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're just getting started. You want to chime in on that or so much more that we have planned for you? The phone lines are open, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text. That's the HRNP listener line. And, of course, you can always reach out and get us via Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is mean. It's at Barry is funny. So before we get to break, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. Josh Pestikoff and his staff do a fantastic job. I know from experience. I signed up with Infuse about a little over a year ago. They have taken such great care of me, and I say that because of the fact that my bills have gone down to where I have saved over $1,000 per year. That is crazy good for me and my family. It can do the same for you, too. All you got to do is pick up the phone, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, and you can talk to a live human being, not an automated system, so you get that frustration out of the way. And they're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business? Is it for your family? And go from there so they can tailor make a program and a rate that best suits you and your needs. It's fantastic and 100% honest, even if that means losing your business to cheaper competition. It's like a trusted friend. You can expect honesty at all times without exception. And if you do decide to go with somebody else, at least you know they were honest and upfront with you. So if you're looking in the future, you can come back to them knowing you can trust them to give you the most fair and honest responses that they possibly can. They build high-value relationships like friends do, and that's the way they want to do business. business. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
He's got him for the touchdown. Does he ever? Mahomes to Hill. What? Response.
Just stay within yourself. I think just the more experience you have playing in the big time games, you start figuring that out. And I feel like the Bengals game was good for me, just being able to go out there and be comfortable within the offense and just do what I've done all season long.
And I think that Barry's the meanest by far. I think that he's been that way for a long time, and I think that Nick and Joel are great.
That was Patrick Mahomes after the game. A dandy from both teams. I really thought when Kansas City got the ball back that they were going to at least tie the game with a field goal.
Yeah,
Butker can kick. Yeah. So, how about both teams miss an extra point?
So too weird. You know, it's funny how similar everything was in the game for the most part. I mean, even when you look at like the summary, they had a recap, like a drive chart and everything. Dude, everything was so similar. The numbers that they put up as far as passing and touchdowns and this, that, and it was, I mean, as far as games go, I don't know that I can think of a better football game that I've watched. It might have been the best game I've ever watched.
So Mike Greenberg and a lot of people started these polls and they keep talking about it and asking the question. My big thing is, if it wasn't, at least in recent memory, the best regular season game you've watched, then what is? Give me other options. Yeah. Give me a list to choose from where I can go, oh, yeah, I remember that game. Because right now, obviously, and this is the last game that's played too, but so it sticks in your memory banks the most. But this game was one hell of a game. It had everything you wanted. Like you said, there was defense. It just wasn't
the kind of
defense that was going to be
three touchdowns. Yeah.
Scores under 10 points. But, yeah, there was everything in it.
And the crazy thing is, you know, you can make the case for, oh, well, what about the Falcons and their big collapse and then this, you know, this Hail Mary game or that Hail Mary game. And that's fine because it made for a great finish. But this game was dynamic from the beginning, from the opening kickoff all the way through this. It was a dynamic football game. And I personally don't, there's not a game that stands out to me. This is game five Astros World Series type of game for me. This was the most fun I've had watching football that I can remember.
Now, can we set a prerequisite right off the top? Clarence, don't call in. I'm not saying don't call in at all, but it better be good if you do. But don't call in and give me some BS Drew
Saints
Brees
crap.
Moment, Saints
yeah.
crap.
Save it.
Let's just be rest assured, it ain't there.
And don't Google the greatest game ever played because it's from the 50s and it sucked.
Was it the Ice Bowl?
Yeah, it was the
Cowboys like, Packers?
No, Colts and Colts and Giants? Colts
and
Jets.
It really sucked.
Yeah, it was not. It wasn't the Ice Bowl, but
just
it was like
the highest scoring game ever. Who would have thought? Again, it was like a 1963 Colts Giants game that was 74-4. Who was alive for that?
It's like you can't tell me that the greatest game ever played was when the announcer was like, "Okay, see, he's got the ball, see, and he's going down there, see, and throw the ball down now, see." Nope. This was no. Don't Google it though. Just look up the greatest game ever played. I want to say it was 52.
Back in those days, by the way, which I thought was funny, the coaches and the players when they were on the sidelines they had heaters in their mouth.
Smoking.
There's Len Dawson with a cigarette in his mouth sitting there on the sideline waiting to go back in for the Chiefs and some of these old time games. I'm like, yeah, because they were at the top of their game athletically and in tip-top physical condition.
Chris Schenkel here. The greatest game ever played, 1958. The Baltimore Colts, 23. New York Giants, 17.
The freaking...
That's it. It was the Colts versus the Giants. 1958 NFL championship game, 23-17 in overtime. That's what made it the greatest game ever, because it went to overtime. They're really slinging the ball around. 100 yards passing combined by these two juggernauts. Like, what? Really?
Look at the sleight of hand and the move of the hips as he gains 2.3 yards.
The announcers were Chris Schenkel and Chuck Thompson. It was broadcast on TV on NBC. Jeez.
I only know Chris Schenkel because
really?
Growing up in Milwaukee, the bowling capital of the world as well. And my parents were huge bowlers, so they watched bowling on television. And by then, Chris Schenkel was the ABC Wide World of Sports' number one bowling announcer.
Nice.
Dad, can we watch the football game? Hold on, son. They're in the eighth frame right now. This is a tight one. Are you kidding?
There's a pelt you want hanging on the wall. I'm the lead bowling anchor for NBC. I don't want to brag, but...
Now, Scott has one that I would say is up there. And that is the Dolphins-Chargers game. And it was Dan Fouts with Kellen Winslow Jr. and John Jefferson and all their receivers against Marino, I believe, in the Dolphins. Scott, is that what you're referencing?
Yeah, but I don't think Kellen Winslow Jr. was not a gleam in his dad's eye.
Senior. Oh, not junior, senior. Right. Senior, yeah.
Yeah, that was before last night. Of course, I think that game was a playoff game. It was a playoff game, so more was on the line. But as far as entertainment value, that game in 82, I think it was a precursor to today's kind of football. That was Eric Coryell offense with the Chargers, Dan Fouts, just chucking the ball downfield. It was back and forth. Of course, Lord only knows what Kellen Winslow had to keep going in that game, but he was just...
Yeah, I was going to say, that was the one where they kept showing him between injuries and just flat-out exhaustion. They thought he wasn't going to keep playing. He found a way to stay in the game.
Yep. And then, unfortunately, of course, the winner of that game being the Chargers had to go play up in the Northeast somewhere, I believe, maybe even New England. I can't remember where, but they got...
I think it was Pittsburgh.
Caught up in a snow game and just were out of gas and couldn't follow through. But anyway, that was not saying that was a better game or whatnot, but that's the kind of game that we saw last night, which was a lot of fun.
Good call, Scott. We appreciate it, man. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying, like, oh, what about the Bills comeback versus the Texans? And it's like, well, that was a blowout in the first half. Yeah. So was it one of the greatest comebacks of all time? Absolutely. Was it one of the greatest games of all time? I would beg to differ.
Like Jason on Twitter says the Seahawks-Texans game a year ago. Now, if you want to be completely biased and talk about the Texans side of things, sure, that was a high-scoring game. It was the Deshaun Watson coming out party against a better Seahawks defense, but that wasn't even close to what you saw last night.
No. I mean, there's very few games, and I don't remember this game from the 80s. And so that's the thing is I don't remember. There's no game that I can think of that stands out like this one did. I will remember this game 10 years from now. I couldn't tell you a game 10 years ago that stood out to me. You know what I'm, that, so it's kind of weird, but I mean, and it's going to be subjective, obviously. There is no right or wrong answer. If you didn't think last night was the greatest game of all time, that's fine too. That's fine. Maybe you just, you know, you hate kids and puppies. And so that's cool. If you didn't like it. So, where to go? Oh, a couple of people chiming in. Hey, Barry, this is 8098. You're actually my favorite, but Nick has the best nicknames. So he was basically saying he was sorry for being a jerk. Barry's the meanest, Nick is the coolest, and Joel is Jim Adler. So there you go. Barry is hilarious, Nick is goofy, and has a great sense of humor. Joel's get off my lawn guy, like AJ. This is Demetrius. All of you are very nice. Joel is a wonderful family man. Barry's a loving husband. And Nick is a great friend to both Barry and Joel.
Well.
Sherilyn Beaumont thinks we're all funny, so she's obviously wrong. It's got to be Barry. He's the meanest. He promises jobs to people at the station and then doesn't deliver. That's for Maggie Joe. Good stuff. Keep him coming. Barry is scary mean. Okay. You know what? Don't keep him coming. Barry is funny. Warner is the meanest. Okay. You know what, guys? It's enough. If you're not going to vote for Joel, then don't vote.
You know what?
I don't want to hear it.
They're absolutely right. What? Barry Warner is funny.
Oh, boy. Man, this hurts. Hey, are you going with me tonight to work out, Nick?
Tonight? You didn't say anything about going tonight.
What do you mean?
You didn't say anything about that.
I texted you. You didn't get my text. You didn't get my text?
I wish you texted me, man, because I would have been prepared. I can't be going in those Gilligan shoes again.
Come on, Chubb Rock. You got to go with me and get this workout in at Vortex, man. I'm going to be there. Look, guys, this is an open invitation to anyone that can hear my voice. If you want to come work out, hang out, I'm going to be at Vortex tonight. It's 1707 West Gray is where they're located. Come join. Come work out. Come get in shape. Come burn off some calories in advance of Thanksgiving so that you can eat whatever you want and not feel guilty the next day. And we can do that at Vortex. They've got the cycling and the boxing studios, two of the best in the city of Houston, hands down. And it's a great workout, just 45 minutes. Be there at 5:30. We'll be done by 6:15 and on the road, headed home, easy peasy. And look, the gym is amazing. You're going to love this place, man. They've got the smoothie bar, so you can order your smoothie. It's ready for you when you're done working out. When you put your stuff up in the lockers, they've got USB ports to charge your phone, so you're not going to miss any calls or have to worry about that. And it's not, I mean, it's affordable. It's a luxurious gym, but it's affordable. $25 for the spin or the rumble classes if you want to try one. And you can do that $40 unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week to try it all out. You should definitely give that a shot. I think you're going to love it once you get out there and try it. The gym itself, like the boxing studio and the cycling studio, outstanding, man. And it's a multi-sensory workout. So it's like the lights are involved. There's music involved. And if you're worried about embarrassing yourself like I was, don't worry. The lights are low. People can't see you. So you can do your thing and not have to worry about it and just focus on getting in shape and having some fun when you work out. And guys, I mean, this still stands. And I've been saying this for a while now, but the scenery at Vortex, top notch, second to none. The last couple of classes that I've done, I've been outnumbered 8-1, male to female. So it's definitely worth checking out, especially if you're a single dude and you like Instagram models. I'm not saying they're all Instagram models, but there are plenty out there. And the best part is you don't need equipment to get started. They've got it all for you. Just show up and be ready to work out, Nick. So 1707 West Gray is where they're located. 281-501-3094 is the number. 281-501-3094. Best way to get involved is vortextexas.com. Go online, schedule your classes, and get more information there. That's vortextexas.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the big show. Half hour into the three-hour extravaganza that we call The Usual Suspects. It's Nick and Barry still having some fun on a Thanksgiving Tuesday. Way back Wednesday, tomorrow, boys.
I have an idea.
Your ideas suck, okay?
All right, because I don't have any ideas.
You've been going all out about how you always pick the topic.
Totally well, do.
I took over last week and made sure we put that to bed.
Cheated last
no,
week.
No, I didn't. I picked the topic. Did I? Time out. Did I pick the topic?
Yes.
Thank you.
Enough did said. You cheat?
Ah! We Nick, don't need any more Nick, rebuttal.
Did he cheat last week?
How did I cheat? I picked the topic and I got my list in.
Yeah, yeah.
So?
We didn't confirm anything.
I think we should... I'm going to make it difficult.
Look, meanie. Just settle down, okay?
I think we should do... You have to do 8 songs that are symbolic of things you're thankful for.
That's so stupid.
How about that?
Nick and I just said just things to be thankful. It doesn't have to be things you're thankful. Why not? Why no?
No. You just
see. You always have to be so
songs with
salty.
Thank you in the title.
You have to be all salty all the time.
Not salty. Give me an example of a song that you're talking about then for your theme, your stupid theme.
My stupid theme. It was Nick and I that both
stupid
thought
ass theme
because
that
of
you
Thanksgiving.
Have.
It seems to be appropriate. Songs apropos. About.
Are you Googling songs? You literally have Google up right now on your laptop.
Because you're calling me out on the air, so let me find something for
well,
you.
If you come up with the theme, you should at least have one example of it.
No, because I got crapped on for that because I came up with the theme last week and a whole list.
What was so you're saying songs about being thankful, but you have not a single song in mind.
I'm just going to play the Charlie Brown theme, the Schroeder's theme.
Why?
Because Charlie Brown was thankful for everything on Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God. Speaking of, my wife loves the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. I'm like, you're a grown-ass woman. Why are you watching that?
Now, I don't love it anymore, but when I was a kid, Charlie Brown, the Charlie Brown cartoons, the specials were great. Because, like, during the Christmas holidays, a lot of them sucked, but a lot of people still love those.
The one I hated was those animated, abominable snowman bull crap.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, those can go to hell. Those were the dumbest Christmas movies ever. Like, the dumbest. Yeah, I don't know. People watch those still.
You just make friends by the day on here.
Are you talking about the text line?
No, I'm just saying. Just with statements like that, people are going to like pull off the road going, what did he just say? I love the Heat Miser and all the different animated characters.
So you still haven't given me an example. I'll be waiting. So this is your theme. You can't even come up with one in 5 minutes, and now we're supposed to all come up with 24? I don't think so.
Kelly Clarkson, a moment like this.
Has nothing to do with being thankful.
Thankful for a moment like that. She never thought she... Never mind.
No.
Celine Dion, thank you.
There you go.
Okay.
Huh?
Earth, Wind, and Fire, gratitude.
Yeah, and we're out of ideas.
Bon Jovi, thank you for loving me. I dedicate this to Barry and Nick.
All right, so on the text line, somebody said, since the Rams defense is loaded and KC just unleashed 50 on them, is KC offense that good, or is the Rams D a little overhyped? Because the defense is supposed to be that dominant, they wouldn't be able to drop 50 on them.
I'll tell you this. I'm not going to even reference that game last night. If you just look at what the Rams defense has done over the last five games, when you have the Packers in that game until they fumbled late in the game, with a chance to win it. You have the Saints and the fact that they got down and the Saints ran all over them and put up massive numbers. I think that there's a lot to be said about the fact that on paper is one thing, but on the field lately, the Rams defense looks a little overrated.
Yeah, well, they're giving up almost 25 a game.
Aside from Aaron Donald.
That's going to go up now, obviously. Yeah, I mean, they have skill players. They have, individually, they have great players. But, yeah, I mean, and again, you take last night with a grain of salt because you're talking about two of the three best offenses in football were on the field. And any defense, I think, is going to struggle to stop that. But the Rams are 23rd in the NFL in points allowed. So it's a good defense individually, but I don't know that you could even say anymore that they're one of the better defenses when you consider Baltimore, Tennessee, Dallas, Chicago, Washington, all giving up less than 20 points a game.
Did you see Urlacher's tweet during the game last night?
No, what'd I miss?
Okay.
By the way, Houston 6th at 20.5 points a game.
So 99 last Aaron Donald.
Yes.
Is good. But there's no way he comes close to the Bears 52, Khalil Mack.
What?
Bro, I know you got a little bit of Homer in you.
Settle down.
But let's take it down a notch. Aaron Donald leads the league in sacks. He was dominant again last night. He was all over the place. There's nothing wrong with doing A or B choice and having just one of those two guys. Because I heard someone call in today and say, well, you know, J.J. Watt's playing just like Aaron Donald. Settle down. Okay, that's the bias of being a Texans fan. J.J.'s playing very well. We mentioned that yesterday.
Ibukam played his ass off, too. How do you pronounce it? Ibukam? Is that right? Ibukam? I don't know.
He had two touchdowns.
I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah, he had. Yeah, I was watching it. The wife went to bed early and I was in bed on the laptop watching it. So I didn't have the sound up because
isn't that a blessing though? Cause boy, Monday night football.
I heard Witten was brutal again, but,
and Joe Testatore,
yeah, two touchdowns.
I'm tired
by
the Testatore buddy thing too. He's always overly excited, but he's out there calling dudes by their nicknames and stuff. And you've got people like Lisa's watching going, who? And I'm like, I forget who it was again last night. But, you know, for example, if it was Todd Gurley that ran off a run, he's like, TG right there, man, right through the lane, or right through that hole. And I'm like, stop that. People don't know. It's one thing if you're the hometown team's broadcast, but you just, on national TV, that's when you just got to be, paint the picture, call the game. If the color analyst wants to get a little bit,
funny or cute or whatever. You got a booger, so you already got the opportunity. But between Boog and Witten, I'm like, man, it's a tough listen sometimes. And I like what Booger brings to the table in terms of knowledge and stuff. And Witten just has a hard time putting his thoughts into words.
I think so. And I think a lot of guys, I get the sense that these newer color analysts that are joining the fray are trying to be more like Tony Romo.
Absolutely.
And they're all being compared to him, or at least they feel that way. And so you feel like they're trying too hard almost. Josh in Beaumont texted and said, KC lost by 3 on the road while being -2 in turnovers. I think they were -3 in turnovers, to be honest. That's the definition of a moral victory, right? Yeah, probably. I mean, if you're looking at moral victories, yeah. I think you lost by 3 on the road and you turned the ball over as much as they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably a moral victory for those guys, but.
You know what the thing that's a shame, too, is
look at this.
Mahomes really got tarnished by the last two picks. But the last two picks.
But his arm was hit on, it was, on yeah, one
he
of
was,
them.
He was really trying to play hero ball, too. I think if they just would have stayed within the system. And I give Andy Reid credit, too. Because for everybody that said, hey, I wish I could have done this differently. Or he said, you know, Mahomes is going to learn from this. Goff said he's going to learn from this. But even Andy Reid said, I'm already thinking back going, I should have made different play calls.
Yeah.
I should have done a lot of things differently. If this is a precursor to another meeting. No one in football should be disappointed by that.
No, and several people have texted and said that USC-Texas game in the Rose Bowl was one of the greatest ever, and I will agree with that.
I would agree with that as well. That was a college game.
Yeah, but that was a fantastic football game to watch.
VY.
As well. Yep.
Made him millions. All right, hey, we're going to continue to roll on. It's not exactly the Charlie Brown song I was thinking of, but that works too.
The remastered Charlie Brown theme.
Get Schroeder's theme. It's my favorite.
Okay.
Of the Charlie Brown. That's right there. That's just easy listening.
Wednesday's tomorrow.
You can kick back. No, let's do it today. Okay, so we'll continue to roll on. Cody, Tony, hang in there. We'll get you in next. And, of course, if you want to join the show, several ways to do it. HR&P Listener Line, 713-780-3776, where you can call, you can text, you can also hit us up via Twitter. And, Nick, I wasn't trying to be mean by that because I don't want to piss you off so that you get meaner to us. I was just saying that's a great effort putting that on. I like that song. That's
we cool. already know who the mean suspect is, and that's Barry. We've clarified that through the text line, and we can all agree that Barry is the meanest suspect.
Bitch.
Isn't that what you
and
said on
look,
the text
he
line?
He just called you a bitch.
Which further
game
confirms.
Set, Barry Mean. Back with more. Usual Suspects, yep. ESPN 97.5.
Hate y'all.
Caleb.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour number one, 3-hour show. As we continue to roll on and have a little fun. Some's on the air, some's during breaks. You guys think you're funny on texts and tweets? We're pretty funny when we're not on. So we've got some calls to get to, and we appreciate them being a part of the show. So in order of people waiting the longest, Tony, you want to get in here on this greatest game conversation. Tony, what do you got?
Hey, so look, here's the thing. First off, you're all mean. You're all hateful.
That's okay? True.
That's why you love us, Tony.
Shout out to you.
That's why you
hey,
love
I'm from Vida, brother.
That's not our fault. That's not our fault.
Yeah, I know it's not. It's not mine either. I laugh. So here's the thing. So whoever doesn't think that last night's game was one of the best ever is the guy that thinks Joel is innocent on everything.
Okay. Uh-huh. Hang up on him, Nick, you know, right now.
Keep rolling,
Tony,
bro.
Keep going, Tony.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yours.
You're making so much sense right now.
Here's the thing. What about the Broncos and Cowboys game just a couple of years ago when it was Romo against Manning? That was, 55-54 or something like that? That was a shootout. That was a great game. Of course, had same type defenses.
Do you remember it?
I don't remember it. See, that's the thing, Tony. The problem is Yeah, the problem is, I think, and I'm not saying that it wasn't a good game, right. but I think the problem becomes this was a Monday night, two best teams in the NFL, two best offenses in the NFL. Hype. Well, two of the three best offenses in the NFL.
National TV, the hype, the whole young the quarterback. Whole package.
Oh, it's the future. It's I don't know if that game was on a Sunday or what, the Cowboys-Broncos game. I just don't remember it. I'm not suggesting that you're wrong by any stretch of the imagination.
It's all good, but here's the thing. Last night's game lived up to the hype as opposed to just about any other game. And look, I'm almost 47, and every week there's a big hype game. Every week there's a big hype game. Oh, it's the greatest game ever. And none of them ever live up to the hype.
That's
last
true.
Night was hyped up, and it lived up to it. And if you weren't on the edge of your seat or on the edge of your bed or getting yelled at by your wife or screaming, then you weren't liking football, bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Are you a Cowboy fan, Tony?
Does it matter?
Yeah, it does because of the game you suggested.
So I am a Cowboys fan.
Nick, that explains the a-hole in him. You can hang up on him now. That's fine.
Look, I'm a realist. I'm not one of these bandwagon hoppers. I'm a realist. I think we suck right now. No offense to the Cowboys. I'm a diehard. But I think that our coach needs to go, bottom line. Hey, go to Fire Jason Garrett Now Facebook page and sign up because he needs to be gone.
I appreciate the call, Tony.
There you go, Tony. Yeah, I don't know if I appreciate it, but Tony, thank you.
Fired Jason Garrett Now is a thing on Facebook, huh?
Doesn't surprise
me. That's pretty awesome.
Because did you see that, too? The other thing is his annoying clap.
Yeah.
They've noticed that he does an annoying clap whenever things go well.
Our boy Jerry Rocha said the other day, instead of doing Jordan memes, when somebody fails, they should just show Jason Garrett clapping from now on. Because whenever the Cowboys suck and do something wrong, it's all you see is him just clapping, and it's annoying. So, not bad.
Let's get Cody in here. Greatest game conversation again. Cody, what's up?
I'm a little biased, and we lost.
It's a Buffalo call.
December 24th, 2012, 12-14, the Seahawks versus the Green Bay Packers.
Oh.
When they called the crappy interception that was not an interception in the end zone. I thought that is the greatest game to me.
Are you a Seahawks fan, Cody?
Sir?
Are you a Seahawks fan?
I'm a Green Bay Packer fan, but it was still a great game.
How could that be a great game? Replacement refs screwed us out of a victory. That's terrible.
It was still a good game. I thought it was a crappy call, but it was a good game.
Cody, don't worry about what Joel just said.
I love your allegiance. I hate the take, but I love your allegiance. There. Thanks for the call, Cody. Have a good Thanksgiving. We appreciate you chiming in, man.
NASCAR Johnny checked in. He said, I don't think Barry's the meanest. I just think he jokes around the most and it comes off as mean. All y'all are solid dudes, just different. Joel, family man guy. Barry, get off my lawn guy. Wait, what?
We're alternating get off my lawn guy.
Nick is grab a beer with guy.
Nick's a-hole guy.
Yeah, he's the jerk.
That's Trey.
Yeah.
Trey loves me.
He has to. He's afraid that if he doesn't, you're going to kill him.
No.
That's exactly how it works.
That's not true.
Okay. We all have our opinions, obviously, and so does the text line.
There's obviously people on Twitter that think you're capable of murder as well. So.
Ike absolutely believes I could kill someone with my hands, and at the listener party, he actually thinks that I have.
Oh, yeah, that's the same dude. Yeah, you mentioned him before. That's right.
Ike has said on several occasions he thinks whether I realized it or not, at some point back in my previous days, I've killed someone with my bare hands. And so I kind of never let him forget that one.
You might remember this one. I don't. Trevor G said 2006 Ohio State versus Michigan, 1-2, OSU 142-39. Go Bucks.
No clue.
Yeah.
No.
Sorry, Trevor.
Was that the game that the only thing I would say is that the game that Charles Woodson won the Heisman that year and posed in the. I have no freaking clue.
Idea.
That's the thing. And it was just like the other call. If you don't remember it and stick out, it sticks out the minute you mention it, then how can you say it's the greatest regular season game of all time? Not to take anything away from, it probably was a good, great game. It's probably something that, for one reason or another, you were really drawn to. But that's why I would never bring up like a Packer game like that, because it's not going to have the same relevance nationwide, just like Texans fans saying Seahawks and Texans a year ago. Great game if you're a Texans fan and a Deshaun Watson fan and all those things. But how can it compete with that game last night?
Last night was amazing, and the numbers are so eerily similar. Even with Mahomes going 33-46 and 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, his rating was 117.6. Goff goes 31-49, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, with a rating of 117.1, separated by 0.5, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rushing? Who do you think ran for more? I don't know. Don't cheat.
I'm not.
Who do you think rushed for more? You would assume it was the Rams, right? With Gurley and all the numbers that they put up.
Last night, he struggled to get his hands on the football because it was such a,
He had 12 carries. Hunt had 14. But the Chiefs with Mahomes, he added another 30 almost. Chiefs rushed for 98. The Rams rushed for 76 yards. I'm telling you, man, the numbers in this game and how similar they are was crazy. Just all across, time of possession was literally split down the middle. They had the ball the same amount of time in the game.
The Gurley factor, too. This was the end of a streak of 13 straight games with a touchdown for him.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, too, because that was a hell of a streak. Well, that was a great
run. When you consider against this defense that it would be better. But total yards, 546 for KC, 455 for the Rams. Turnovers, obviously, 5 for KC, 2 for the Rams. That was a big difference in the game, really. First downs, 29-27. Time of possession, 29 minutes and 37 seconds for KC to 30 minutes and 23 seconds for the Rams. It just goes on and on how similar just across the board these two teams were. Passing first downs, 21 each. It's just, go look at the box score and you're just like, these two teams are the same team.
And you know what's a travesty?
And you feel like the Rams defense should be better, but these two teams are the same teams. They both gave up 50 plus.
But you know what? In a year where we talked about the cream really is at the top of the NFL and there's only a handful of teams that are in the discussion for best teams with a chance to win it. But those best teams, you're looking so forward to when they play because of the matchup last night.
Now, my question to you is, you saw last night, you saw these two teams. Do either of them beat the Saints? Is this game the same if you take one of these out and plug in the Saints? And I don't care which one, because we just talked about how similar they are. If you plug the Saints in place of the Rams and they play the Chiefs, or you plug the Saints in and they play the Rams, is this the same game?
I think it is the same game. I think the Rams can beat the Saints. I think both teams could beat the Saints. I think the one factor that we're not talking about is the fact that Akeem Talib didn't play again last night.
Yeah, you had said he was going
to
play.
Yeah, he was supposed to play, and then he practiced during the week, but then he didn't play. If Akeem Talib plays, not that neutralizes the Kansas City passing attack, but it gives you one extra defense back. Like Sam Shields, God bless him, too, because he's had a pretty good year, but Sam Shields on Hill wasn't even close. No. And it was like, from a defensive schematic perspective, put someone else on him. Try and do something different. Mix it up.
Yeah. The only thing that I would say is the Rams may be the better defense of the three teams. And I know that's,
I think so.
I know that's crazy to think when you look at individual players, the Rams, but I meant the Saints. Sorry, did I say the Rams? I meant the Saints might be the best defense. Did I say that?
You didn't. You said the Rams were.
I meant the Saints. I think the Saints might be the best defense of the three.
I think
they're certainly giving up the least amount of points.
The Rams
of the three
are capable of getting better, but right now the Saints defense has gotten better. And they're playing better than the other two right now, for sure.
Yeah, well, and I think part of this, you look at pass rush, and I give me the Rams front four any day
of the week.
Sure,
you're supposed to, but look, the Saints front four has been playing really well lately.
Against the run, there's only one team better in the NFL at stopping the run, and that's the Bears in the second, and it's by 0.1 yards. I mean, the Bears and the Saints are the best by far in the NFL, by 20 yards almost,
now
at stopping the run.
You were talking numbers. Let me give you this one as we head to break.
Okay.
In your humble opinion, Barry, who had a higher rated game? Rams Chiefs last night, Packers Patriots a couple weeks ago?
I would have said last night.
So would I.
I saw that tweet, so.
I retweeted it. Last night's game drew an 11.3 rating overnight on ESPN nationally.
Yeah.
Packers Patriots, 15.6.
Wow.
That's crazy to
Everybody
me.
Everybody loves last Tom Brady.
How could last night's game not...
I'm with you. I don't know.
And I'm a Packer fan.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest with you.
That should have been. I would have thought that would have been the. And, well, is that
that's
overall?
That's nationally. National, not market by market.
Yeah.
And all that
I wonder, though, don't they do ratings per, like, quarter hour or something like that, kind of like do with radio?
Yeah.
So I bet you by the third quarter, I guarantee you the ratings were higher in the fourth quarter of the two games for last night. Right? I mean, dude, there was 5 touchdowns.
There has to be
in the fourth quarter.
Word of mouth and or social media.
Exactly.
People are going, God, am I missing this?
Every post on my Facebook and Twitter was, this is bonkers. This is the best football game I've ever watched. Bonkers. This is crazy. This is so great. So you know people are like, what the hell am I missing and tuning in? It had to go up. Overall, it might not have been, but I feel like fourth quarter might have been the most watched game in years.
Yeah, and you know what? And here's
or
the other thing.
Been, at
and
least.
Several people have tweeted me this, and they're right, including Joseph Martinez. Obviously, there were some other great games this year. Pats Chiefs early on
was a great
game. Rams Saints, sure. But just overall, like you said, from the hype to living up to it to national TV to every bit of it, just give it what it deserves. That was a hell of a football game last night.
Yeah.
All right, we got one in the books. We still got 2 hours to go. Don't go anywhere. Much more of The Usual Suspects right around the corner. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.